saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Wednesday.
Way back. Way, way, way back.
Songs from 2010, as the case may be. Original, yes, no, but guess what? It's a theme, and it's there, and we're doing it.
And I owe you another song because I duplicated it, but I do want to point out Pac-Man Joe has two songs from 2009, so his list sucks
Nick, do I, or did I already make the necessary arrangements to
Did you send a new email? God dang, blabbits! Yeah. Not black them. I don't even see your email.
Evidently,
I didn't get your update. It doesn't.
I don't need to send it to you because you pissed me off.
Nope, not official.
Evidently, people don't have enough to do at night. They decide to just go back and fine tooth comb my list, even though it was third, and you two already had your list in, so it shouldn't matter.
By the way,
I digress.
By the way, not a lot to choose from. Pretty whack year for music.
It was a bad year.
No, it wasn't.
2010 was a very whack year for songs.
Nick, just because you got Bruno Mars and Jason Derulo, you're happy.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, which song did I repeat? You said I had a double.
You both had Black and Yellow.
Oh.
You're welcome. At least I'm man enough to tell you what your mistake was.
You had a chance to update it. Because I told you, I said, you have two songs from 2009 on your list. I'm just not going to tell you which one. Do your own research. But I told you ahead of time.
Nope.
Did I not?
See, I don't complicate these things.
Yeah, you cheat.
Done deal.
Yeah, you do yours at list 2 o'clock when
completed.
The list. You're so lucky we kept this. All right, I'm going to get you another song for Black and Yellow. Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm not. I don't care. Play it twice. I don't care.
So how's everybody doing? Welcome into another episode of The Usual Suspects.
Episode. What's up?
Oh, we're going to correct people on their...
No. That goes back to when I did my podcast. I accidentally said Erpisode one day.
Oh.
And so I always said Erpisode after that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about and uncover again today in the sports world leading through it. Last night in a game that even I didn't care about in college basketball...
Don't believe it.
There was a brawl.
Don't believe it.
Yeah, lots to talk about there. Rockets at home tonight hosting the Denver Nuggets trying to snap a 4-game losing streak. The Houston Sports Awards were last night, as well as their announcements officially of the newest inductees into the Hall of Fame. And lo and behold, one Cal McNair was in attendance because they were honoring his late dad. But it didn't say anything about anything. I knew that shocked you. Jim Crane also there making comments.
Yeah, how about the heat the Astros are taking for winning awards? Did you see that? Yeah. People are going in on them for bragging about the awards they won. It's like, it's a local award. Look, Jim Crane's not winning Executive of the Year. And you know what? The cheating was from 2017, not 2019. So suck it and shut up, everybody.
Well, and this is why I say again, Major League Baseball, why don't you hurry up with the ruling on the Red Sox so that it can start expanding into how many teams did this instead of your one lone and only scapegoat being the Astros? Because we know the Red Sox cheated too. We know that there's been innuendo about even when Beltran was the bench coach for the Yankees cheated too. We know that there are numerous other teams that cheated too. So the quicker that those decisions can start coming into play and being public, the more that people can move on with their day instead of just bitching about everything about the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, are they supposed to shut down their Twitter and not talk about their accolades that
promote
they won locally? Yeah, I mean, that's just stupid. It's typical, though. I mean, you know, Tater's going to Tate.
And here's what I guess, I like the fact that of the three owners in town, the one that's been the most out in front of things and the most proactive has been Jim Crane in trying to put this behind the organization to kind of move forward. Now he comes out last night and says, our players at FanFest and otherwise should have been more apologetic. which is fine to say that, but then to follow it up and say, so at spring training, the first day, I'm going to get everybody in a room and we're going to have a talk, and then either the players as a group or individually are going to come out and apologize. Well, now that you've said that, don't do it. Because now it's contrived, and now everybody knows that it's not sincere. It's the fact that you're telling them to say it.
I'm going to disagree.
It's fine.
Because I think you have to... Basically, I know what Jim Crane is doing. He's basically saying, listen, guys, you got off lucky. You got off easy, and you got lucky. Baseball didn't punish you, but you're the reason A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow are no longer with our organization. You got them fired. You guys are the ones that cheated, not them. You guys are the ones that have tarnished the reputation of this team. You guys are the ones that need to come out in a public and publicly apologize. And I expect that to be done once the season starts. You don't have to do it in the offseason, but I expect it to be done, and I'm going to hold you accountable for your actions. I like it.
I don't like it because, in my opinion, what he's doing is he's trying to appease the national media who bitched when Jose Altuve made the statement he made, which I said that on that day, and I will say again, I loved the fact that he just set the table for, we're going to go out and get to the World Series again in 2020.
Jim Crane fired his GM and his manager. You think he's trying to appease anybody? He didn't have to do that. He could have just accepted the punishment.
We talked about it, Barry. I think absolutely the decision he made was so that the organization would remain profitable and the fact that going forward it wouldn't take as big of a hit.
It was a smart and shrewd business decision, but he's not appeasing anybody. He's making decisions for the betterment of his business.
Okay, you can categorize it however you want, but I think that the fact that he's now going and saying his team's going to all have a meeting with him and then come out and apologize is only because yesterday everybody bitched about Altuve's statement, which I loved, which was true honesty coming from a player that was in that locker room. And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear these guys saying, you know what? Everybody can say whatever they want, but we're going to come out, we're going to bust people's ass, and we're going to do what we've done in the past to show we're just a good baseball team.
I do like that. I do like the fact that they're like, hey, you know what? You guys can think we're cheaters all you want, but when we go out and we make the World Series again this year, I don't want to hear it. Because you guys know we're not cheating. We're obviously not going to cheat. It could be the end of everyone on this team. No, but when we do win it all, suck it. Because we're still good baseball players. I love that. I just think in regards to him, it's kind of like when your parents, if you stole something as an 8-year-old, you took candy from the corner store and your mom got you and said, nope, you're going to take this candy and you're going back down to that store and you're going to tell them you stole it and you're going to apologize. This is literally what Jim Crane is doing to his team. You guys are a bunch of childish amateur cheaters. You're going to tell the public and the world that you're sorry. You're not going to get away with this by not having any comment. Because that's what Bregman avoided, the questions. Mm-hmm. Altuve avoided the questions.
Well, and they were told to do so by the PR department. There's almost no doubt in my mind.
Sure, and this is why Jim Crane is stepping in and saying no.
But he's also, because Crane's been fed up in the past with the organizational statements that have come across as arrogant and over the top. But, you know, this is why I don't give a rat's ass what Jeff Passan says about anything going forward about the Astros, because they haven't had, it's the hypocrisy of not saying anything about any of the other teams. But it's also the fact that I'm going to call you on the fact that you think these players got AJ and Luhnow fired. I think that AJ is the one that is the biggest victim in all this. But he also, as he admittedly said, he could have put a stop to it and he didn't. I think Luno's the one that I'm not going to give a pass to with saying the players did this to him, because for every indication in the commissioner's report and everything that we've heard and what's come out, he knew what was going on. He had emails. He had other direction coming from other ways to where he knew what was going on and he didn't do anything about it. And it was almost like he encouraged it. So from one angle, I completely agree with you. They got AJ Hinch fired, but I don't think that the same can be said about Jeff Luhnow.
So a couple things from the whole thing. First, here's the quote from Crane. And this, tell me, have you seen this quote?
I heard it.
He said, a couple of the guys that have been interviewed have been holding back a little bit. Crane said, we need to get them a little more time to get together in spring training. Everybody's split up geographically. We're going to sit in a room and talk about it. And then we're going to come out and address the press. All of them will address the press either as a group or individually. Quite frankly, we'll apologize for what happened, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. And I think that's the last part of this, and I think that's partly why he's saying it. He's like, look, we need to own this. Everyone else has owned this. You know, in some form, I owned it because AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow said they weren't involved. I had to fire them. But it's time, you know, he's owned it as an owner, and it's time that the players own it, and then let's move forward. And I'm really okay with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with holding these players accountable and making them come out.
I like that, and but apologize. I'm just saying that first of all, the fact that internally you could have said, we're all going to meet in Springfield, that we're going to do all this.
Yeah.
But the fact that you came out to say that you're going to, and told people what's going to happen in the future and that they're all going to apologize, well, you know they're going to get hammered for that now. Because now the national media is going to go, oh, great, that sounded sincere. Or wasn't that what your owner said you were going to do?
It's a no-win, though.
Right.
Right. Because I think at this point, it's just Jim Crane trying to be transparent. Like, look, you got us. We're busted. We cheated. We know we cheated. I know we cheated. Y'all know we cheated. So he's trying to be as transparent as possible. At least that's what it appears like. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it's calculated. You can get everybody in the room with your PR staff. Here's your message. Here's how you do it. This is what you say. This is what you don't say. This is how you handle it. Be sincere. Be honest. This and that. You know, you want to come across as remorseful. You don't have to tell them about the buzzers. That was not part of the investigation. But you do need to own the trash can banging. And, you know, so they're going to lay it all out for them and coach them up. But the fact of the matter is, it really, they do need to come out, especially the leaders on this team, the MVP candidates, the guys that you know, were at the forefront of this team and are the leaders of this team. You absolutely expect them to come out and say something. And the fact that they haven't yet, I think, you know, is a bad mark.
He came out through his agent and in the media session.
Really,
to
all they've done is deny to use any buzzer. But that's all they've done. They didn't talk about trash cans, sign stealing, videos, the video room, the monitors. That hasn't been addressed.
But then he also got away from the company line they wanted him to say to state what he stated about going forward and what they're going to do this season and to try and just, you know, turn it into we're going to go win the World Series.
Yeah.
So at least he's speaking out on his own.
But what I'm saying
instead of just sticking to the company.
But what
line.
I'm saying is none of these guys have addressed the part of that was ish the part that the Astros were busted for. They weren't busted for the buzzers. Baseball said they didn't use them. So of course they're going to say, "No, we never used buzzers." It was, I mean, we didn't get busted for that. I'm not saying they didn't, but they just didn't get busted for it. But the other part of the cheating scandal, they did, and they haven't addressed that yet. And I think that's why Crane's like, yeah, someone needs to say it. But, I mean, you have a good point. I think what you say is valid about, you know, trying to save face, and it could be a bad look. He's kind of in a no-win situation.
I agree with that. But here's the thing. I mean, they feel like they've, until Crane said what he said, they feel like they did address the other half of it because they said Major League Baseball issued their report. They laid down their punishment. The Astros then did what they had to do, what they felt they had to do, and now we're moving forward. So, to some degree, they did address it.
It's also interesting. He's bringing in Jeff Bannister today.
Yeah.
And he said that we'll get it done early next week because we need to get down to spring training. So, you're going to find out who the Astros' new manager will be sometime early next week, Monday or Tuesday of next week. So, we're less than a week away now. I'm pretty excited and nervous. But you know what? Jim Crane had the foresight and the smarts to go out and get Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch. And I hopefully he has the same kind of luck and interview process that he does to replace them.
The Mets close to naming Luis Rojas as their manager.
Oh,
so none of the candidates that Houston has interviewed so far seem to be a candidate for the Mets job. But you just don't want them to rush through this and don't get the right guy. Because you need a guy that can embrace analytics, but knows the old school and how to, you know, manage the game and all the idiosyncrasies too. That's why, as you and I fine-tooth comb some of these guys, Buck Showalter doesn't seem to be an analytics guy. Dusty Baker doesn't seem to be an analytics guy. Bannister's a guy with Houston ties that has a grasp on both sides of the equation, more modern manager.
Daughter's a good follow on Instagram too.
Is that right? Well, there you have that as well.
I'm just saying.
That's
nothing to do with nothing. I'm just saying.
Hour number one, Nick Sharara. Hour number two, Barry Laminack. Hour number three, myself. Way Back Wednesday, songs from 2010. As we get into a Way Back Wednesday's edition of The Usual Suspects, that means you can be a part of the show. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey, second segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Way Back Wednesday in the big city. If you missed it, Hall of Fame for baseball. The announcement comes out yesterday. It's not a long list. There are not a lot of names, but there yet again is more controversy as Larry Walker.
I like the second French
Canadian ever, yeah, along with Ferguson Jenkins, elected to the Hall of Fame. In his last appearance on the ballot, Larry Walker gets in. And of course, the slam dunk, Derek Jeter. But the outrage is all, and the controversy is because Derek Jeter was one vote from being unanimous as a selection, joining his teammate Mariano Rivera, had he gotten it, as the only two unanimous selections in the history of voting for the Hall of Fame. Look, in my opinion, you're in. One vote, guess what? Guess who's the guy that should have been the first and the biggest unanimous selection in the history of baseball? Junior. Ken Griffey Jr. And yeah, when he didn't get it,
yeah,
I don't care about anybody else.
That's true. I would agree with that. Who do you think the vote, do they say who the
vote
was?
They're trying to find out. I mean, people are, this is bigger than when Bill Broyle voted James Harden for all NBA and he was the only voter in the nation one year.
So we got 396 of 397 votes. So one baseball writer didn't feel like Derek Jeter was a Hall of Famer or just felt like he needed to wait. Because there is a difference.
I would like to, again, and we talked about this week with the ownership in Houston for the different teams, too, and the fact that I would like explanations. I would like to have some kind of a reasoning behind the decision made. Because in this case, I have always hated the Yankees. I have never hated them more, maybe, than I hate them now. But I've always hated the Yankees. I grew up in the American League East, so I had a right to hate them when the Brewers and the Red Sox and the Yankees were in the same division. But I will never for an instant, a millisecond, take away and not give credit to Derek Jeter as one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Agree.
A guy that played it the right way every day and did so many big things and stepped up on big occasions and has all the resume to deserve being a unanimous selection.
I agree with all of that 1,000%. I have a big anti-Yankees guy, but I loved watching Derek Jeter play. And I not only did I like watching him play, I respected the way he handled himself. Now, off the field with all the chicks and the gift baskets and the STDs.
Don't hate.
That's the whole.
Those that
wasn't
can
there
do.
Rumors that he was. That some didn't somebody come out and say they got herpes from him?
I don't know that. I just know that
is that
least
not
he,
true? Am I making that
it
up?
It wasn't.
I don't know. I'd have to Google that.
At least he didn't wham, like, bam, thank you, ma'am. The reputation was he would send them home in a limousine with a gift basket. Some people just make him do the walk of shame. I mean, give the guy credit there, too.
I just Googled.
A thread on Reddit about it.
Yeah, how did Derek Jeter give out herpes to everyone? There's a whole list of celebrities that have herpes, and Jeter's is on it. But I don't know if I trust this website. Oh, no!
Jessica Alba, Boston.com.
No!
Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel. Vanessa Manillo.
Yep.
Mariah Carey.
Oh, let me just tell you something.
Scarlett Johansson.
We used to joke about this, that his black book and the names and numbers in that book could be a bestseller list for years because of the fact that it is top shelf.
Damn. Half of these chicks slept with him. That's where they got him from, huh? Paris Hilton?
No, he didn't, did he?
No, I'm just saying she has it. They're saying Paris Hilton
has
herpes.
That I could understand.
Britney Spears.
That I could understand.
Don't you disparage the good name of Britney Spears. Pamela Anderson. I knew she had the hep. I knew she had like hep C. Yeah. I didn't know she had herpes. I knew she had a hep C. Oh, the Beckhams? That's awesome.
Maybe they gave it to each other.
Oh, no. Rest in peace. Robin Williams had herpes. Janet Jackson.
Good morning, herpes.
Mike Vick.
No way, really?
A.K.A. Ron Mexico. Lindsay Lohan. Liza Minnelli. Ugh. Who's banging Liza Minnelli? Tommy Lee. Well, duh. Pam
Seriously.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Trey Songz. Okay. Billy Idol. No big shock there.
These are
right?
all like alleged. These are not now.
Yeah,
confirmed.
This is from the word. The website is called wordiseek.com. I don't know if this is a. Okay. Now, here's the thing. They have. This almost seems like. It's almost. Okay. This is the. They have Magic Johnson at 5. I feel like putting Magic Johnson on a list of people with herpes is like taking Charles Manson and be like, oh, also. He jaywalked. Like, it's, come on, bro. You don't need to put him on that list, okay? Like, we already know. You didn't need to put him on this list. Let that man live his life. What's crazy is that he beat HIV. Probably didn't beat herpes. Can't get rid of it. Comes back. It's Julia Sweeney. I don't even know who that is. Greg Louganis. Tommy Morrison.
Tommy Morrison, the fighter. That, again, yeah. There's another one that he died of HIV, so you might as well just leave that one also, alone.
And David Hasselhoff.
Oh, the Hoff?
The Hoff has the herp.
The herp?
The Hoff has the herp.
He was that eating sucks. Hamburgers off
Wouldn't
the
it be
floor.
Great if on the bust for his Hall of Fame, they put like a cold sore in Jeter's mouth?
You think the car told him?
That would be so messed up, right? They're like, what's that thing on the corner of his... Well, I mean, it had to be real life and accurate, so...
You think when the results came in, the car told him? The Knight Rider car?
David. That little red...
Yeah, the digital red headlight lights. Thing that goes back and forth.
David, please wash your hands before you get in the car.
The steering wheel and stick shift is filthy, David, and now so are your private parts.
Please don't put your mouth on me, David. Oh, wow. That's a crazy... I don't believe that list, though. I'll be honest with you.
Wasn't Mila...
No, I don't... Was it, they can't all have it.
Was it Mila Kunis, too?
Well, sure they can.
Or a good portion, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I don't think all of them have it, but I feel like...
I think he should just be in the Hall of Fame for his black book of those that he dated.
But I think it was Jessica Alba that said she got it from him. Fantastic Four, four-star, recently voted...
I think it was the assistant.
Sexiest woman in 2007... Previously dated Derek Jeter, and during their relationship, she allegedly contracted the sexually transmitted disease. I knew I heard it somewhere. So Jessica Alba says she got it from Jeter. So yes, we should confirm if they're going to put a cold sore on his bust at the Hall of Fame. That would be pretty
I think he put more
awesome.
Than a cold sore on a lot of busts back in his day.
You win. That
All
was
right,
outstanding.
The first half hour, the usual suspects. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Lots to get to, and we'll circle back to some of the other baseball stories and things that are out there.
By the way, you good with Larry Walker getting in?
I mean, he had a pretty good resume, you know.
Okay.
You know, with batting titles, great defensive outfielder, big arm.
Great.
I thought he was a great right fielder.
That was good. I wouldn't necessarily go.
Evidently, you're not good with Larry Walker getting in.
Here's the problem. I want to see his home and road splits, especially. Colorado. His years spent in Coors Field. I mean, like he's a guy that's still hit for average on the road. Ooh.
Evidently, you found some things that don't necessarily disagree with you.
So here's his home and road splits. And you tell me if he played more games away than he did at home. He had 1,002 road games, 986 home games in his career.
Okay.
He had 215 home runs at home. He had 168 on the road.
Okay,
not crazy. He hit 348 at home. He hit 278 on the road. That's significant.
How many years did he play in Colorado and how many years did he play in Montreal?
He slugged 637 at home. He slugged 495 on the road. That is significant. His OPS, 1.068 at home, 0.865 on the road.
Significant.
That is a
All right,
pretty...
So how many? What was the splits? How many years did he play elsewhere in Montreal than he did in Colorado?
Let me pull that back up here. That was a split. Where the hell
does that mean? Look, the bottom line is as long as Colorado's still part of Major League Baseball, and then you play the games in the city that you were destined to play in.
I get it, but don't you have to take that into account? He played from 95
to 2000. Did he put a needle in his ass?
He played from 95 to 2004, so almost a decade. He spent 89 to 94 in Montreal the first season. He had 56 games, or yeah, 20 games, excuse me. But his time in Montreal, here's his home run totals. 19, 16, 23, 22, 19.
It's a big park, too.
Yeah. First year in Colorado, 36.
Okay.
And then he was injured the next year, so he only had 18. So he went 36, 49, 23, 37, 38, 20. Like, bro.
Okay, but Todd Helton's probably going to get in, too, with the same
issues. You want me to pull up Todd Helton's home and road? Because I'm way more confident in Todd Helton's road splits than I am Larry Walker.
I don't want to bore the listeners with all the numbers.
They're not bored. This is great.
Okay.
Todd Helton home and road splits? You're not down for this? This is amazing, bro. It's great radio. Okay. I'll just do his average.
Mm-hmm. He was a good contact hitter.
Not good for Todd Helton either. 345 at home, 287 on the road.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what? We're going to say that it's the Hall of Fame except for anybody that played in Colorado.
I mean, unless they had good home and road splits. Well, then I don't want to hear about Altuve cheating and then his home and road splits are different.
I was going to say, Todd Helton. Larry Walker didn't put a needle in his ass or freaking hear a garbage can pound him when he went to the plate.
Now, it is true that Larry Walker never took steroids. It's obvious, right?
He had more of a beer gut than biceps in some cases. But
he was my go-to, by the way, in fantasy. Him, Raul Mondesi, and Manny Ramirez. If I could get those three, I was set in fantasy baseball back in the day.
Okay, now the listeners are tuned back in. But, you know, here's the thing. You look at all of that being said, too. The only thing that was shocking to me was only two guys got in. And this now next year, I believe, is the last year on the ballot for Clemens and Bonds and Schilling. And of those three, they say the one that's closest to getting in is Schilling.
Yeah, because he had less question marks around him as far as cheating goes.
Right.
Roger Clemens,
just
Barry
on resume
Bonds,
alone, the two other guys should be slam dunks if they don't get caught up in the scandal.
But I think they're going to be punished for that.
Although, as long as the voters are still old school baseball writers, there's never going to be forgiveness.
Do we see the? Do we have the results? Like how many they got?
Schilling was you needed, I think, 70-some% to get in. Schilling was right on the cusp at 70 or 71%.
And Bonds,
Clemens was, I think, 61%.
Clemens was at 61%. Bonds was at 60%.
Yeah,
Larry Walker had a pretty significant jump though to get to 75 because I think people felt like, but to me, Larry Walker
guys
borderline.
Also felt like if I'm going to crap on the steroids guys, I got to find some dude to put in.
Yeah, Larry Walker.
There you go, Larry.
All the pudgy, doughy white guys.
He wore a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt when he did the interviews after getting the phone call.
Really?
Yeah. Always heard he was kind of a fun-loving guy, but yeah. SpongeBob SquarePants made an appearance.
So Bonds has gone up every year, 53.8 to 56
his vote?
To 59. Similar trajectory.
Okay,
53, 56, 59, and now 60.
So he only went up literally 60 now, but you need 70.
You need 75.
Five.
And Clemens similar, 54, 57, 59, 61. So he had a 2-point jump in percentage.
As we've said with Barry Bonds, and I think, I honestly was going to ask you about the Clemens part of this. I've said numerous times with Barry Bonds, if he never takes a steroid, if he never comes close to scratching the surface of the home run title for the history of his career, he's a Hall of Famer and a 5-tool player just by what he was doing in Pittsburgh well before he found the clear and the cream.
I agree. He was a 5-tool player.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. I think Roger Clemens was a Hall of Fame pitcher.
That's what I was
before
gonna ask
steroids.
You. I would think that too.
But the problem I have is that they're kind of owning it. Like in this article from CBS Sports, it says Bonds' lawyer once said he admitted to using steroids, but that he did so after being misled by his personal trainer. BS.
Yeah.
Total unadulterated, straight from the cow BS.
Yeah, this is Jeff Luno didn't know.
Exactly.
Right?
You knew, you did it. Bro, you don't get swole up like that and be like, well, I didn't know what was going on. I just know I was hitting 70 and 80 home runs. How did that happen? Huh? Come on, man. You knew. And the problem is,
Sammy Sosa went from 180-pound center fielder to a 242-pound right
linebacker
hitting home runs like triple and quadruple what he was hitting.
And it made him white.
Yeah. They didn't say that was one of the side effects, but it evidently might have had a part of role in it.
Mark McGwire knew what he was doing. Jose Canseco knew. All these cats knew. And so just
A-Rod.
Own it. A-Rod, just own it. That's my thing. Just
do
own
the Andy
it.
Pettit. If you do the Andy Pettit, you're probably going to find more forgiveness and a better chance of getting in than if you're going to be standoffish and deny it for years. The writers are going to remember that. The fans remember that. And they're going to be viewing you all totally differently.
Because I think you could come out and say, listen, my name is Barry Bonds. I took steroids. And I did it to, you know, keep up with it. I was jealous of Sosa and McGwire. And so I did. But if you look at my track record, if you look at my numbers before, guys, I was still a really good baseball player. It's kind of like with the Astros. Did they cheat? Yes. Does it mean that they weren't deserving of what they did because they were bad baseball players and had to cheat to win? No. They're still really good baseball players. They just cheated because they're stupid. I don't know. But that's the thing. I think if everybody would just own it and not make an excuse like, well, I was just given a cream and I just rubbed it on me. Really? You just take stuff people tell you to take. You don't look into it. You don't investigate. You don't ask questions. You just, someone walks up and says, here, take this. You just shove it in your mouth. You just poke it in your butt. Well, that didn't sound very nice, but you get the point. You get the point. You're a grown ass man. You're going to ask questions. Stop lying about it. Stop denying it. Just own it and you'll be in a much better position.
Without question. So, the other thing that came out yesterday was because of all of the social media uproar about the buzzer and the Altuve home run and all these other things, Rob Manfred said MLB has no plans to strip the Astros or the Red Sox of their titles. The way baseball goes about their business and always has is they're not going to try and strip or take away things of the past. They're just going to move forward into the future by making sure it doesn't happen again. So therefore, that's off the table. Stop tweeting it and writing blogs about it and thinking it's going to happen.
Stephen A. Smith.
And Los Angeles City Council, stop wasting taxpayer dollars to vote in things that are never going to happen. You're not getting the trophies. Stop it.
Here's the crazy thing. You remember that guy I made the World Series bet with that was a Dodger fan?
Yeah.
That we said if the Dodgers won, I had to wear Dodger shirt and hat in my profile picture for a month. And if the Astros won, he had to do the same. And then he didn't follow through on it. Because he loves the Dodgers so much, he could not bring himself to wear an Astros hat. We talked about it. He's like, bro, we get it. They cheated. No one is giving back a World Series. The Dodgers don't deserve it. I was like, does it matter to you that the Dodgers got beat at home? He goes, yeah, not just in Game 7 either, Barry. They got beat at home in Game 2. I was like, thank you. One Dodger fan that actually thinks rationally. I was like, and don't forget, the Astros did lose a game at home too. So if they were cheating, they didn't cheat that day or something went awry. Maybe they didn't have any trash cans. I don't know. But he was like, yeah, it's stupid. He goes, I'm passionate about the Dodgers. He goes, but this whole thing is dumb. No one's giving back a World Series.
No.
They won Game 7 on the road. They earned that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So there's a bunch of baseball and other stuff as we get the first hour almost wrapped up. And then we'll have two more hours to get into a whole bunch of other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. ESPN 97.5. And these days,
all the girls are down the road. You're listening to ESPN. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this rainy, dreary, chilly day in Houston. While you were sleeping, or probably filed under the, even if you weren't, I don't really care enough about college basketball to have watched Kansas play Kansas State last night, it became must-see highlights TV in the morning hours this morning, because in a blowout game in which Kansas was manhandling Kansas State, at the end of the game, controversy and then a brawl ensued where Kansas was going to run out the clock. The Kansas State player, whose team was down 20, picked the pocket of the Kansas player, went down to the other end for a layup, got it blocked by a Kansas player, and then the Kansas player stepped over him on the ground when he had fallen down, and then all hell broke loose. benches emptied. The brawl and the punches and everything that was going on happened in the section reserved for handicapped people. It was ugly. One of the Kansas players lifted a chair over his head and was threatening to hit another player with it when an assistant coach stopped him. And this was all happening with 5 seconds left in the game. As Bill Self, the coach of Kansas, would say, he was actually going down the court and in the process of shaking Bruce Weber's hand because the game was over. And then all of this became bigger than the game itself. Here's Bill Self of Kansas talking about it after the game at the podium during the press conference when he basically, good for him.
Well, obviously there was a role that was played by our players, but I got to watch the tape and see all the angles and all that stuff to know to the extent of it. But I know that we were in the wrong. I'm not saying that both parties weren't in the wrong, but I know that we were in the wrong. I was shaking hands with Bruce as the play was going down to the other end. Bruce came down and to shake hands, and so I did not see what transpired until everybody started running out there. I didn't even know that it was a melee until, you know, 3 or 4 seconds after everybody was out there, because, you know, sometimes those things kind of start and then they just kind of dissolve. But yeah, that was an embarrassment by on our part for the role that we played in it. And there will be consequences that I'm sure I'll announce tomorrow for that role as soon as I'm able to study it and come to grips with all of it.
So he's evidently studied it, because Silvio D'Souza, the player that had the chair above his head, has been suspended indefinitely by the Jayhawks as part of suspensions laid down and self-reviewing all video. He's conferred with the Big 12 Conference, and he is obviously still very, very disappointed. There were other suspensions. The Jayhawks lost other players. The bigger concern, too, was that both benches cleared. So it was going to almost be like with all the suspensions, you got to stagger them.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Malice at the Palace.
Do you? Let me ask you a question, though, and this is just hypothetical for the sake of conversation. Do you think it's fair to stagger them, or it's like, listen, you all ran on the court, you all got involved with the brawl, and guess what? Now you got to play shorthanded, and
no,
if you
don't,
lose the
forfeit.
Game, well,
yeah,
then don't get involved in the brawl.
I think I see your point, but I also think from a conference standpoint of losing revenue and all the different things for both schools, because you're also penalizing the other team involved in it, who, if you're on the schedule for one of those games, sure, you get a win, but especially if it was a home game, now you lose all the attendance and all the revenues and all the sponsorship things that you owe sponsors, or you're on the hook to give sponsors as part of their agreements because of the fact that the game just goes away.
You think that, well, I don't think they suspend the whole team. You had five guys.
No.
You may have six guys. They had five guys on the court for the last second.
If they do like the NBA, and this was the discussion last night with Seth Greenberg as well, was if they do in terms of anybody that left the bench, there wouldn't be enough players to play a game. Because both teams, benches cleared.
Right. But what I'm saying is some guys never threw a punch. They were just being peacemakers. Mm-hmm. They were just in there breaking it up. So don't suspend those guys. If the ones that left the bench but weren't involved in the fight, there's at least five on each team.
So
guess what? Sorry, you got to run the whole game. You got to run all, was it 40 minutes in college? You got to run all 40 minutes, bro.
Here's another factor to just take into consideration is, much like he said about the two coaches going to shake hands, because it was less than 10 seconds to go in the game, most players on both benches were on the floor because they were proceeding to the handshake line.
Yeah.
So that's something that the conference, the NCAA, whoever decides to get involved in all this has to take into consideration. Were they in the middle of the melee and accessing everything because they were fired up, or because they were already on the floor getting ready to shake hands because it was a blowout? The game wasn't going to be decided in the final 10 seconds. And then when they saw everything going on, they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they just started to proceed to where everything was going down.
My favorite part of the video, there was two parts that I really enjoyed. One dude from the Kansas State bench in street clothes.
Yeah, player that was
black shirt,
injured.
White pants.
No, not white pants. They get jeans on.
So white jeans?
I don't know if they were white, but
they were white jeans. All right. I noticed because I was like, see, it's after Labor Day. You can still do that in 2020. he comes off the bench and he proceeds to fight number 22 from Kansas. I don't know who that is.
That's D'Souza.
Okay. So they're fighting, and you can tell 22 is all about it. And then he realizes, yo, this cat in these street clothes is actually pretty good at this.
Yep.
And he starts backing up, and he's the one that kind of gets got and goes and gets a chair. And while that's happening, two or three other cats from Kansas bum rush the dude in street clothes who falls down and is now on his back with three Kansas players standing over him. I don't know. You can't see any kicks or punches. I imagine they weren't playing patty cake while he was on the ground. But then he gets helped up and scurries out from behind and runs off. He's checking to see if his earrings are still in his ear, but he scurries away. So both of these dudes were like, I'm tough, I'm tough. I'm not that tough, I'm not that tough.
Don't
I'm not that
tough. Fight. They didn't want to yeah. fight.
No. D'Souza went and got the chair. Didn't use it. Picked it up over his head and then thought better of it, which was smart.
But the body language before he went and got to the chair.
Tough guy.
He was so scared at that point. He wasn't in a fight. Yeah. He wasn't in a fight.
You could tell. He was like, oh boy, he got clocked and was like, yeah, I don't like getting punched in the face. That's not very fun.
Nope. I think there's going to be a lot of suspensions. I think you have to follow the path and like from the beginning and the end of the brawl of each player. Like, where was that player when the brawl started? Where was that player by the time the brawl ended? How did he act in between? I really believe you have to follow each player because, like Joel mentioned, just because they were off the bench and they're off the bench because they knew the game was over and they were not necessarily a part of the brawl at that point doesn't mean that they didn't just run and storm towards the brawl and do anything. So they're going to have to follow the footsteps of basically all the players from the beginning to the end of the footage and see who was really like a peacemaker. And who was one that was really a part of the brawl and fighting and being an aggressor?
Yeah, I mean, from what I had heard, too, and again, I'll be interested to see if the NCAA lets the conference and the university be the end-all, be-all, because the other thing you have to take into consideration is Kansas can say we're suspending him indefinitely, but the NCAA could come in and say, well, we're overruling that and saying he's done for the year.
Yeah, true.
And whether he used the chair or not, the act and intent shown was enough to scare people, and because it's getting this much attention, he's going to get something for the chair.
Picking it up. I would agree
raising
with
it over his head. He wasn't doing that to say, even though he was Mama, if you want to come down after the post game, I got a seat for you.
If someone needs to sit down, I've got this chair. Yeah, that wasn't what you're doing in a brawl. Listen, if anyone gets tired from fighting, I've got this chair you can use. Yeah, not happening.
Yeah, so, I mean, from that regard, it was an ugly, ugly situation. I like the fact that at least Bill Self took ownership of it. We talk about Jim Crane trying to get out in front of it, but right after the game, he took ownership of it and said, look, there's going to be a lot that he's going to do. He has to look at all the video to make sure he gets every angle, but he's already out there issuing suspensions, so hopefully that takes care of itself because Kansas is the one with the most to lose. Kansas is a top 10 team.
Oh, yeah.
So... that was crazy last night, but you actually kind of said you kind of agreed with the lack of sportsmanship on the floor to end the
game. I didn't like that.
And I can see, I mean, look, you might tell people what you thought.
Yeah, well, we'll do it on the other side. I hear the music. Yeah, we'll come back because I think we disagree on this too, not surprisingly.
Shocker, right?
But yeah, I thought it could have been handled better.
Okay. All right, so hour number two is about to start, and plenty more on the docket. We've got NBA basketball to talk about with the Rockets back on the floor this evening, hosting the Denver Nuggets. And, of course, you're welcome to be a part of the show as suspect. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This, ESPN 97.5. But you won't do the same.